This is an old English rhyme. Pussycat, where have you been? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, what did you there? I saw a little mouse under the chair. Now, that's kind of a dumb poem, you know, but it says something. What did the pussycat go to London for? To see the Queen. What did the pussycat see? A mouse. We often see not what we intend to see, but sometimes what we are programmed to see. What is a cat programmed to see? Programmed to see a mouse. It's more interested in a mouse than it is the Queen of England. So it sees what it's programmed to see, and so do we often do the same thing. Another little poem that goes something like this. People see things, maybe that are not there. As I was going up the stair, I saw a person who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. Oh, I wish he'd stay away. You could put all kinds of things in that. As I was going up the stair, what? I saw an idea that wasn't there. I saw something else. I had a belief that wasn't there. It wasn't there again today. I wish. So people see things that are not there. They believe things that are not there. They feel things that are not there. They live in a fantasy world often that is not there. Here's the question. Do you see the true picture? Or do you see the picture you were programmed to see? Do you see things that are not there? There's a passage of Scripture in John chapter 8. I'm going to begin in verse 30. It has to do with Jesus. As he spoke these things, many came to believe on him or in him. As he spoke these things, there were people there who believed in him. So in verse 31, Jesus says, so Jesus was saying to those who had believed him or believed in him, now he's telling them something. Now they remember, they're believing in him first. They believe him. They think he's true. They listened to his words. His words were tremendously powerful to them. So they believe his words. And then they say to him, he says to them now, these people who believe in, if you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth. If you continue in my word, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Well, they took that the wrong way. Didn't like that. They answered, well, we're Abraham's descendants, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. And how is it that you say you will become free? I mean, how can you say that to us? And Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin, that is, constantly commits sin. Everybody does it every now and then. But constantly, in the same sin, you constantly commit that. Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does. The son remains in the house forever. So if the son, S-O-N, the capital S-O-N, makes you free, you will be free indeed. Then Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's children. I know you're Abraham's descendants. Yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. The word has no place. Programmed, but not a program for this place. The word has no place. Doesn't find a home. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you've heard from your Father. They answered in verse 39. They said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. See, the truth has no place, doesn't find a place. When the truth doesn't find a place in a person, what does it do? It aggravates people. When the truth doesn't find a place, it aggravates you, it upsets you. When you have the spirit of truth, then you receive it. It's joyous to you, which I heard from God. He says, I've told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. Abraham was going to kill somebody who told him the truth. You are doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we were not born of fornication. They knew that Mary was expecting a baby before the solemnity of Joseph, and so they thought he was born out of wedlock or begotten out of wedlock. So we're not, let's put it in plain modern English, we're not bastards. We have one Father, that's God. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? Notice, they couldn't understand what he was saying. Why don't you understand? It's because you cannot hear. You can't listen. You can't hear my word. Now, the word hear doesn't mean that they didn't bounce off their eardrum. It meant the word didn't have a place. They couldn't enter. It wasn't received. You are of your father, the devil, he said. And you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Satan has no truth in him. Even though Satan quoted the scripture, he always quoted it out of context. He quoted it with misapplication. He quoted it in a way that would be detrimental if you follow his suggestions. There's the false bonding that Sherwin talked about. Whenever he speaks a lie. He speaks of his own nature. You know, it's from his own nature. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. If you're bonded to God, you hear the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them, because you are not of God. So true. Notice the truth he talks about, something that's truth, the truth. You didn't hear the truth. You didn't listen to the truth. It has no place in you. When the Bible talks about true, it talks about God being true. The Father being true. God is true. And it means God is true and trustworthy. You see it in John chapter 3, verse 33. He who has sent me is true, Jesus said. It's also in several other passages in John. In John 17 and verse 3, Jesus said, God is the only true God. He's praying to God. He says, Father, you are the only true God. In Romans 3 and verse 4, let God be true, though every man is a liar. God's true. God is trustworthy. True meaning you can believe God, you can trust his words. In 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9, he praises the Thessalonians because they turn from the false gods to the true and living God. You turn to the true God. And in 1 John 5 and verse 20, it speaks about him who is true. him who is true. Not only is God true, but God's ways are true. Righteous and true are your ways, says the book of Revelation, chapter 15, verse 3. Righteous and true. And God's judgments are true in Revelation 16, verse 7. It says, true and righteous are your judgments. God's judgments are true. They're trustworthy. God's word is true. God's ways are true. God's sayings are true. He who sat on the white horse is faithful and true. Revelation 19, verse 11. And God's Son is the truth. He is the true light. John 1, verse 9. He is the true vine. John 15, verse 1. He is full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14 and verse 17. He's full of grace and truth. Even from the time he came into the world, he's full of grace. The word became flesh, and we beheld him. Full of grace and truth. He is true. You see it over and over again. The Son's testimony is the truth. So, there's a lot said about the truth. So, does God love truth? Does God want us to understand truth? Are we supposed to see the true picture or what we're programmed to see? As I was going up the stair, I saw a man, an idea, a doctrine that wasn't there. It wasn't there again today. I wish it would stay away. Are we programmed to see what is true or what we are programmed to see? Hosea chapter 4 in the Old Testament, the prophet says this, the word of the eternal, hear the word of the eternal, people of Israel, for the eternal has a grievance against the inhabitants of the land. What's the grievance in Hosea chapter 4 verse 1? What is it? There is no truth. No faithful love or knowledge of God in the land. That's why he condemned Old Testament Israel. At this point in Israel's life, it was so convoluted, it had gotten so far away. Truth was substituted, lies were everywhere. You couldn't trust anything. Sort of like advertisements on the radio and television. You can't trust a lot of the things that they slip this in and you think that's true, but that's not really true. It's not the way it is. They name things which they are not. They say this is this, but it isn't that. God condemns mankind for false judgments. True justice has eluded humans for centuries. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. There's no words that could that could replace the way these are put in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 59, starting in verse 8. He says, they do not know the way of peace, and there is no justice in their tracks. They have made their paths crooked. Whoever treads in them does not know peace. Therefore, in verse 9, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 9, therefore justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. All of us growl like bears, moan sadly like doves. We hope for justice, but there is none. For salvation, but it is far from us. And what does he say? For our transgressions have multiplied before you. and our sins testify against us, for our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities. Transgressing and denying the eternal, turning away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets. Imagine, truth has stumbled, and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking, verse 15. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself a prey. Imagine, I want to do good, you turn aside from evil, then everybody starts after you. They make you become a prey. Now the Eternal saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. Yes, no truth. Truth was lacking. Well, why do humans, why do we as people, why do human beings have such a hard time with truth and justice? Why is that? There's got to be a reason for this. Is it something wrong with our brain, with our mind? I want you to ponder this passage from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 9. It reads like this, reading from the New American Standard Version. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, and mortally sick. That means incurable. Who can fathom it? The heart, your heart, the heart of man. King James reads like this, the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? It's mortally sick. Who can heal it? Now, the word deceitful above all things, that word, the Hebrew word for deceitful means it's like a footprint. It's like your heel comes down. It's a footprint. It's used in the book of Genesis when Jacob was born. He grabbed onto the foot, you know, one baby was born, Esau was first born, and then the other baby was born, and he comes out, and the other one grabbed his foot. It's like, I grabbed your foot, like a footprint. It's used in Jeremiah 9 and verse 4. So let's take a look at Jeremiah 9 verse 4. Let everyone be on guard against his neighbor, and do not trust your brother, because every brother deals craftily. The word craftily is the same word as deceitful. The heart is deceitful, crafty, above all things. Who can know it? And as Jeremiah 9 verse 4 finishes, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer. So they slander each other. Everyone deceives his neighbor and does not speak the truth, Jeremiah 9, verse 5. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves committing iniquity. I mean, they're so tired. They've done so much sin and so much iniquity, they're tired of it. I'm exhausted from doing the wrong thing. They just keep doing it. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. He's telling Isaiah and Jeremiah. Your dwelling is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, declares the Eternal. So it means a supplanter, crafty, translated supplanter. It's like the footprint. The heart is it's a supplanter. It's deceitful above everything else that it is. Is that the human mind? When the Bible speaks of heart, it's talking about your basic core person, the emotions, the beliefs, the thoughts, who you are deep down in your core. In Jeremiah 15, verse 18, he says, Why has my pain been perpetual and my wound incurable? Remember, that same word is incurable. Mortally sick means incurable. It's the same Greek word, same Hebrew word used in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all else and mortally sick or incurable. And Jeremiah uses the same word in Jeremiah 15:18. The wound is incurable, refusing to be healed. Will you indeed be like a deceptive stream with water that is unreliable? Incurable wound, it's called. Now you got this deceitful mind. This mind that is supplanting. This mind that is stamped with this supplanting idea. And yet, in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, who can know it? Well, God knows it. God knows it. Listen to this, Jeremiah 17, verse 10. I, the Eternal, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Everything starts in your brain, everything. Everything that's been built, everything that you see, this beautiful piano up here, somebody conceived it. It all started here. It starts with your concepts, with your brain, with your thinking. All of your sins start up here in your brain. All of your lusts are from here in your brain. All of your wants, all of your deceptions start up here in your brain. All of your hypocrisies start up here in your brain. Everything, it starts up here. Starts in your brain. I, the Eternal, search that heart. God knows it. I test the mind. God puts it to the test. Even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Well, what is the truth then? When we say truth, where do we go? What is it? In John 17 and verse 17, Jesus said, speaking in his prayer to God, said, speaking of his disciples, set them apart, he said, for holiness by means of the truth. See, the truth sets us apart for God's Spirit, God's holiness. We get God's holiness when we have the truth. And he says, thy word is truth. Your word is truth. Here's another translation. Sanctify them by the truth. Which means, when you say sanctify, you mean set them apart for holiness. Set them, sanctify them. Make them holy, for by the truth, your word is the truth. So God's word. We have programmed to see certain things. We're programmed. You know, when I take a trip, I like to buy a guide. We went to Europe some years ago, and we bought our first trip. We took a Fielding's guide. There were a lot of kinds of guides. You can go to Europe, you can buy a guide. You can go to Asia, you can buy a guide. And it's a guide to the countries. So you read the guide. The guidebook will point out things, but I can guarantee you, if they didn't point them out, you wouldn't see them. Probably would miss them. Here's this to go see. Look at this. Check that out. The guide actually guides you because your eyes and your mind, well, look. How many of you have been to a magic show? You've been to a magic show. You've seen magic. Yeah, and the guy's doing this, and he does this, and you're looking here, and you say, well, how did he do that? Well, how did he make that car? How did he this? And you can't see it. Your eyes are not fast enough. Your brain doesn't. First of all, he directs your mind over here, but then he's doing something over there, and you don't see that, the slip of the hand, and you don't see it. You just don't see it. Your mind can be directed here, or something else goes over here. We're programming you to see certain things while he's doing other things, and you don't always often see it. And illusions. Conclusions. Your brain jumps to conclusions. That's how the movies deceive you. You see the house, but you don't realize there's no ceiling in this room. There's just catwalks up above where the lights are. There's no ceiling in the room, but you put the ceiling in there. Your mind completes things. You put it in there. You do it. That's why we use the phrase, have you ever jumped to conclusions? Why did you jump? Well, you had this piece of information, and you went all the way over here to this on a conclusion that was not so. Based on what you first, a few facts that you had, you jumped over here. I've done it. You've done it. We've all done it. This is our brain. This is the brain. The mind is deceitful above all things. And filled with sometimes iniquity. It's sick. It's incurable. Well, there's a cure for it, but you're not going to be able to do it on your own. Set them apart by the truth. Sanctify them for holiness by the truth. Your word is the truth. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to this church at Ephesus, says, "And they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus." The truth is in Jesus. Now, if the truth is in Jesus, and Jesus is in you see, then the truth can be in you. As long as you let Jesus Christ in you, then the truth can be in you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 14. The Apostle Paul stood up at one point to Peter. "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," the truth of the gospel was that the Gentiles did not have to be circumcised, and that they were just as good when you came to Christ. When if a Gentile has Christ in him and a Jew has Christ in him, and both of them have Christ in them, they're just as good as each other. And so Paul says, "I didn't like that." And he described how when the Jews came, before the Jews came from Jerusalem, from the all Jewish church there in Jerusalem, that Peter was there with these Gentiles and he was eating with them, he was talking with them. But then when the Jews came from Jerusalem, they sat over at that table. And Peter got up and he went over to that table. And some of the other Jewish ministers and apostles got up and went over to that table. And Paul said, even so much that even Barnabas got carried away. And he's supposed to be with me as a minister to the Gentiles. He got carried away. He went over thinking that these people are better. These people are better. There's no better. In Christ, we're all one. There's no better. But they went. And he says, "When I saw that they were not walking straightforward, uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in the presence of them all, if you, being a Jew, live like the Gentiles and not like Jews, how is it that you compel these Gentiles to act like Jews? Because you got up and left their table. You acted as though eating with them was not appropriate." In Romans 3 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. Is God a liar? Is God's word a liar? And then he says in verse 4, "May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar." Let God be true. If Christ is in you, if Christ is the truth, if the truth is in Christ, then you have a hold, a chance, a way of seeing the truth. Even though you still got this mind that can be deceptive. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 14, "For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I would not be put to shame. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, our boasting before Titus proved to be true." So also our boasting about you and Titus. In other words, I'm trying to tell you the truth. It's very important that we strive to be. You can say things from the pulpit. You can say, you may make misstatements. Everybody makes misstatements. But as much as possible, it's important to strive that it's true, that it's a true interpretation of the Scripture, that it's a true application of the Scripture, that it's true. You strive to be true. And Paul said, everything I said to you, I was not put to shame because I spoke the truth to you. So when I bragged about you, I spoke the truth about you. I bragged about you to Titus, and it's going to prove to be true. Now, God's wrath comes down against those who suppress truth. They suppress it. They keep it down. They don't want people to know the truth. You know, sometimes I see people in general. I go to the grocery store and I look. I sometimes see people with their carts, and then they put the things they put in their carts and the things they're going to feed their kids. You know, and it's not my place. I can't go up. I'm not the food policeman. You know, I'm not. I'm going to think, why are you giving that to your child? Chemicals, colorings, junk stuff, dead foods, things that are not alive, things that are not living, things that will not bring you health, things that are just going to put on weight, but not with nutrition. Why are you doing this to your children? That's what I want to say. But I don't say it. And I'm distressed that cancers in this nation and around the world pretty primarily too have gotten lower and lower. When I was a kid, the word cancer, I remember my dad, I was like 10 years old or something, and they were talking about somebody who had cancer. And I asked, you know, what I get? Dad said, oh, no, that's an old person's disease. You know, it's people old get that. Well, now it's not so. People of any age, kids get it, teenagers get it, young people get it, people in their 20s get it. It has come down further and further. The more of our pollution and more of our bad foods and the more of our stale stuff and the more of our junk stuff that we eat, the more it has now come down further and further. Well, I'm not the food policeman, so I can't say it. Don't say anything. But here's what it has. Here's what Romans says. And this is the truth about God's creation. You see, if I believe in God's creation, I believe in the things God made. And I believe in the things that God made for us to consume and eat. So Romans 1, verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men," of humans. Unrighteousness of men and women, humans. "Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness for wrong reasons. They suppress the truth for their own selfishness, for unrighteous reasons. So the people don't get the truth. They don't hear the truth. They're not allowed to abide by the truth. They fail to see the truth. They suppress it. Oh boy, is it suppressed. You're not allowed to say it. You're not allowed to speak it. There are agencies that will stop you from saying it. People have been put out of business, who have tried to say, well, this is good for you and this might cure you. You can't say that. Because cure is only under the agency of the medical profession. You use the word cure, you better watch it. So everybody says, it might help your health. It's designed to support, to help. If you can't say it, you can't use the word cure. Psalm 119, verse 151. "You are near, eternal, Almighty, and all your commands are true. They're reliable. The commands are reliable. All your commands are true. And then it says in verse 60, Psalm 119, verse 160, the entirety of your word is truth, and all your righteous judgments endure forever. All your righteousness endures forever. So we have to find a way, you personally, and I personally, have to find a way to love the truth, to find a way to seek the truth, to find a way to want the truth. The truth about Scripture, the truth about our diets, our life, the principles of life that are true, the truth about yourself. We have to find a way to find that truth, to love it, to want it, to love it, to face it. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, I want to conclude with this scripture today, but I'll continue this subject next week. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. He's talking about the Satan, the devil is coming with all the deception of wickedness in 2 Thessalonians. Talking about the man of sin that sits on the throne of God. And verse 10, he says, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, that's happening for those who are perishing. They're perishing. The Bible talks about people who are being saved and people who are perishing. If you're in Christ, you're being saved. If you're not, you're perishing. And so he says, for those who are perishing, because, why are they perishing? Because they did not receive the love of the truth. That's why they're perishing. So as to be saved. They didn't receive a love for the truth. You know, the Bible talks about love of a lot of things. There's the love of money, there's the love of this, and love of green, there's the love of silver, there's the love of this, there's a love of all kinds of things. Love of the self, you know. There'll be lovers of their own selves, lovers of money, lovers of pleasures, lovers of this, lovers of that. And there's the love of the truth. This is the love of the truth, so as to be saved. And for this reason, if you don't receive the love of the truth, verse 11, for this reason God will send upon them. In other words, if you don't love the truth, then you must love something else. And God will send upon them a deluding influence, a deceiving influence. You don't love the truth. Here's something. Here's a little man that's not there. As I was going up the stair, I saw a little person that wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. You'll get a deceiving influence that they will believe what is false, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. So one of the most important things for us is to have a love of the truth that we might be saved. To find it, to love it, to accept it, to want it, to believe it. And we'll talk more about learning the truth, understanding the truth, and the principles that apply to you and me as that truth gets closer to us.